And I was like, oh, okay, I can preach this message. I've been thinking about that for a little bit. God, you know, and I usually try to stay away from themed as far as used to. Anymore, I just hit it head on and we'll just run with it. As far as, well, we got Christmas, we got Easter, we got this, we got that. Well, you know, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. I'd created my own little religious world that I created my own prison. But this is the first message of 2016. You know, we all know, most of us have been around for a little while, and we know that one of the things people like to do is make these resolutions. I started talking a little bit about that last week. If you remember, I told you that if you're going to make a resolution, make it to get closer to God. Because, you know, great, losing weight's great, cutting this out of your diet might be great, and all that stuff is good. But let's be honest, if you get your body to where, you know, you got that 8-pack, forget the 6, you went and developed the 8, you know, you got biceps that just make people step back and look again, yeah, great, good deal. What happens to your immortal soul if you didn't get close to God? If you didn't get to know God, and you walked around the world, this earth, thinking, God hates people. God put me into this predicament. God did this. God doesn't bring evil into our lives. It's a result of sin, which is a result of decisions that have been made. You know, if I go out and I jump in my truck and first thing in the morning, fire everything up, and I just stomp on the accelerator and the tach runs up to 6,500 and my engine blows up and I jump out and I start yelling at the devil because he blew my engine up, let's get out of the religious world and start pointing the finger at the right person. I did that. I brought that upon myself because of a stupid decision. Because honestly, I think the devil gets way too much credit. We tell the devil, oh, you know, the devil did this, the devil did that. Listen, all the devil did, even in the beginning, and according to some other ancient writings, if you pay attention, never do they say that the snake in the garden was the devil. The serpent was a serpent. The devil coerced the serpent into coercing Adam and Eve into doing what they did. And why? Because we're people who make decisions. We're fallible. But hallelujah, God knew this was going to happen. And he, before he even created this earth, knew all of this stuff was going to take place. He knew Lucifer was going to rebel. He knew all those other angels would follow suit. But here we are, 2016. We've got great plans for 2016, don't we? Some of us are just now moving into our homes of dreams for years. Some of us have started projects last year that we're beginning to wonder why we started them. But what I will promise you, though, is if you will stick to where you started, what you started with. See, here's the problem. I just got to read this scripture. Let me get to it real quick. Most of you have heard it. It's Isaiah 43 and verse 19. They aren't going to bring it up on the overhead, so you'll just have to trust me that I'm reading it right. It says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Now, Isaiah is bringing forth a prophecy about Israel. And yes, we can hold on to promises that God has made. But the one new thing that changed everything was Jesus Christ coming to earth as a man and dying as a man. That changed everything. That made everything new. Now, fast forward 2,000 years. Here we are. We've all been around for a while. We've seen revivals come and revivals go. And each year, what do? We say, Lord, do a new thing. Why do we want a new thing? Was God not good enough last year? Is he not the same God yesterday, today, and forever? So why do we want a new God? See, the thing is, we want feelings. We are people that we get a little goosebumpy. Boy, man, we woo. You know, we let our anger control us in one area, and then we let our sympathies control us in this other area. And we're a mess. Let's just be honest. We are a mess as people because we're so, it feels good. Listen, ladies, I know birth does not feel good. And I've heard several of you say it. It ain't happening. And I've also heard it said that if it were up to men, if they had to carry babies, the mankind would have died out years ago. But we are always tout and we want a new thing from the Lord. You know, I've realized I don't want a new thing from the Lord. I want Him to finish the new work He started. As I've been working on my house over the last couple years now, I've realized my house started back in probably the 1880s as a simple four-room farmhouse. It's got laid up stones in the basement. They actually concreted them. So it's got that in the basement, and then there's some hand-hewn beams, and then there's a mixture of sawed boards. But in all of that, they started with that. And as the farm grew, and as the families grew, they built on. They added another little section to it. And again, a few years later, not for certain when, probably 20 more years later, as the family grew, as the farm prospered more, they built a new section on. And then somewhere along the line, they eliminated the outhouse and brought the toilet inside. Hallelujah. But the house is still the same. The house is the house. It started out this. It is still a house. It still has a purpose. But we want to change with how we feel. Oh, Lord, I'm so expectant right now for a new thing from You. Listen, I'm looking forward to how I realize Him. If you understand anything that is solid. Listen, I have known people that have chased all of these revivals. And I'm not saying that good works did not start in them and good works did not start them or things good happen out of them. I'm just saying I know people that chased them and they are no different today than they were 20 years ago. Because they chase a feeling. They want to feel good. I don't have to go to a big service. Now, if I'm believing for God for something and I need to go there and God tells me to go there, God told me to go to a big service one time. He says, you need to go. I'm going to break something on you. And I didn't have to go up to the front, folks. The anointing was just as strong, and we were way in the back. I drove all the way to Cleveland from here. And I went there with the expectancy that something was going to happen. And it changed. You want to know really what started changing? God broke a demonic hold, but what started changing was me. And I started wanting to know God better. I wanted to know Him more detailed. What are you thinking about today, God? What do you think about all this? What's going on in your head today? See, we still relegate God back to a deity that sits on a platform and doesn't move. Not realizing that God is with us everywhere. He did not leave us. He said, and He would never forsake us. So, and the reason I bring up that particular scripture is because so many people that I've heard over the years, that is the scripture. Oh, will the Lord not do a new thing? I've even heard people try to prophesy it. Too late. Isaiah already prophesied it. God did a new thing. How about we let Him finish the work that He started? I'm not the same person from 25 years ago. I'm not the same person from 20 years ago, from 15, from 10, from 5 years ago. I'm not the same person as last year. And it hasn't happened because I chased feelings. Trust me, if I ran with my feelings, I wouldn't be here. It is in my nature, you can ask my wife, in my family's nature to run. Just disappear. Now there's a part of me that God has actually been dealing with that wants to fight. And that's not the good side. Some of you may be going to relate with me on that, especially if you're a firstborn. Somebody messes with your kid. Listen, you can beat the socks off of your little brothers and sisters, but that's nobody else's right. You can have big brothers and big sisters do this. We're all the same. But God has been working in me, changing those things, realizing, wait a minute, I gotta quit fighting people. I gotta quit taking this onto myself and let him have it. And I've learned that when I let him have it, he does great things. And sometimes that means I gotta step out of a comfort zone. So that's actually a change on me. That means I gotta say, oh Lord, I'm not comfortable doing this. I had to do something last week that I was not comfortable with. But I'm going to tell you right now, God had told me on Saturday it was going to happen. Let me tell you what went through my mind on Saturday as God was telling me. I said, Lord, do I have to go to church tomorrow? But he told me it was going to happen. And he gave me the words to say. Just like he gave me the words today. Because I'm like, okay, Lord, we're bouncing around here. And I said, Lord, I know the message, but I'm really hoping you're going to put the words in when I open my mouth. But if we will strive to let God work on what he's already started, just as 100 and some years ago, somebody started a house. And through the course of time, it has morphed into a bigger house. It is still a house. It didn't evolve, it just became bigger. It became stronger, it became more efficient, it became better. And at one time I learned there was 3 generations living in my house. 3. I thought, okay, at that point in life there were only, there would have been technically 3 bedrooms, one of them's a landing. But they did it. And the house grew. And now here's my family. And we've done work to the house. We've changed it. We've made it into something of our vision. See, God is still working on you, changing you into his vision. Because guess what? God knows you better than anybody. And I'm going to tell you right now, there are times you're going to want to throw in the towel. God, I quit. I can't do it anymore. Have you ever really felt like that? If you're honest. All of us have. I can't do it anymore. I know people today that's like, Lord, just take me, please. Take me home. I've even thought of it, but I thought, no, wait a minute. Man, I ain't going to get to see my grandkids. And I'm way too young. But what I've learned through that little bit of difficulty was that God was working on me. He didn't bring that into my life, but he used it. Are you following me? This is where so many people, I think, have missed up on this message. They've said that God brings bad things into your life. Okay, bad is evil, and there is no evil in God. He cannot be tempted by evil, so therefore, why would he bring evil to you? And if we look at the example of Job, and I think that's a lot of the reason why it's in there, God did not bring the calamity on Job. It said the devil did. But God knew how Job was going to react. And he knew that out of it, Job was going to be stronger. Job would be blessed more greatly. And he said, well, you know, and I can only imagine the sorrow and depression Job hit. His friends begin accusing him of practicing evil. I've actually had people do that. Go off and start, oh, there's evil afoot there. There's evil in that man. Now, there could be if I just let it go. That's called the old flesh. That's the side we crucify. Like I said, I used to think I was a really good person. But once I stepped away from that person and started looking back at my heart, not what I thought of myself, but looked at the real, went past the lid and opened the box, I started saying, oh boy, he's not as good as I thought he was. And over the years, I've learned that God will use these things. God used things that, as a child, you know, whether it was before my parents were saved, after they'd gotten saved, or whatever took place, that I look back and I say, God, why? And God is now beginning to show me some of the reasons why He allowed me to walk through that. And guess what? It didn't kill me. I don't like it. I have to agree with a man I was talking to the other day. We was talking about God's final plan for the world and, you know, and even for Israel. You know, it stinks, I think, that the United States has pulled away. However, I know in my heart the United States had to pull away because God wants to be Israel's God, not the U.S. He's going to show Himself faithful to Israel. And if He does it because the U.S. jumped in, well, there goes the agnostic Jews saying, well, you know, there is no God. It was the United States that bailed us out. What are they going to say when Russia and China's planes are just falling from the sky? And their missiles overshoot and end up in the Mediterranean, or they blow up their allies. Do you realize that for every person that the Hezbollah and those other terrorist organizations, for every rocket they fire into Israel, I think it's maybe for every 100, they may kill one person. But I think the average is for every rocket Israel fires in, 10 die. You tell me who's on Israel's side. I don't fear for Israel. But as I've, going back to the real subject, as I've learned to let God work in me and be truthful about it. We want to be truthful with everybody else. The hard truth. That's what the plain, honest, hard truth. The truth is we just want to rip somebody up, don't we? People get off on that. I hate to say it that way, but that is the truth. They enjoy telling other people what's wrong with them. Because I promise you, had you told me what you thought was wrong with me even 5 years ago, you wouldn't be met with the person here today. You'd be met with the person 5 years ago who was still fighting maybe through that particular thing. But we thrive on showing other people what they're doing wrong. And nowhere. See, and that's what Jesus was talking about judging. He said, judge not, lest you be judged. For the manner in which you judge is how you will be judged. That's being critical of people. You can look at the single mother and say, why? Well, here's the quickest way to eliminate, help you through that judgmental attitude. Get in her shoes. The single father. The couple that's struggling. Put yourself, or your spouse, put yourself in their shoes. Now, evaluate the person that they're looking at as hard as you were evaluating them. Tell me what you see. You might start thinking, oh Lord, I've really been a jerk. I promise you folks, if you will start being cautious with your words, learning to control your mouth, right here, I believe it was James, said, this thing right here is the biggest trouble in the world, that tongue. It starts wars. It can turn, it's just like the little tiny rudder on a ship. It can turn a giant ship in the middle of the ocean. Just a little thing by comparison to the ship. And yet, we don't bridle it. I'm just outspoken. Maybe it's time you shut up. There, as Solomon put it in Ecclesiastes, for everything there's a time and a season. There's a time to speak out. And there's a time to step back and watch. You want a new thing from God? Start working here. Don't worry about changing your spouse. Don't worry about changing your children. So I'm going to tell you right now, parents, the best thing you can be is a living example. I know so many parents who are so self-righteous, they are not good examples. Because you know what happens with self-righteousness? You fail to see your own flaws. Everybody else can see them because they're screaming. But we fail to see our own shortcomings. Let me tell you something else. When you mess up, tell your kids. And when you mess up with them, repent. If your child has received the Lord, they are now your brother and sister, and the Bible calls you to repent.
I'll not repent to my children, bless God. I'm the daddy.
You're a moron. Because what you're doing is you are building the proverbial wall. And trust me, it doesn't come down very easy. When they cannot see that you are human and you realized you made a mistake and you're trying to work on it, you build a wall. Now, as I'm looking around, I'm going to tell you right now, there's a lot of you're working on tearing down that wall. There's a lot of bricks, aren't there? You know, originally, I will just flat out tell you, pop culture actually affects me a lot because I listen to it, and I'm particularly a classic rock guy. And since I'm talking about walls, people build walls around us to protect us. What they think they're protecting us. But the problem is, you know, and I've had to learn this as a father, and it's hard. Man, somebody wants to come after my kid. I don't care how big the dude is. I'm going after him. And I've had to learn that with coaching. I have nothing against Joe, but as a coach, the father in me says, what are you doing to my boy? That's my boy. And I realize he's just trying to make him a better football player. And I can tell you right now, I thank God that they don't let mamas onto Paris Island during training. You really should thank God. There was a group that started protesting down there called Mothers of America. We had to be careful what we said. We had to be careful what we drew, what we did. Because you ain't going to do that. You ain't going to talk to like that about my baby. Those of you who've seen Full Metal Jacket, that was real boot camp. He didn't pull any punches. That was boot camp I went through. But I look back, and I needed that. I didn't need mommy and daddy saying, well, you come on back home. I would still be a little boy trapped in a man's body. And see, and that's where I've had to learn as a father. I got to back up. And even as a pastor, you may say, well, you just don't care about me. Do you know how much I do care about you? I don't want you to remain a child. That's what the Apostle Paul talked about. Listen, we all go back, oh, you know, it looked great when we were children. We didn't have to worry about paying the bills, taxes. We didn't have to worry about all that stuff. Well, guess what? You're not a child. You can never go back. You are an adult. And that's why I tell my children, I said, enjoy your childhood as long as you can. Because when you become an adult, you're there for the rest of your life. But there comes a point as adults, we got to stand up. We got to be the father. We got to pay the bills. We got to make those hard calls. And we aren't going to do them all right, are we, guys? If you've made every right decision, I need to talk to you. Because I'm still messing up. If we will allow God to work, and instead of seeking feelings, see, that's a problem. We seek the feeling. That's why there are churches, and I have no problem with big churches. I need you to understand this. I praise God for every person. At least they're in there getting the word. The word will change your life, but you have to take it and put it. We got several coaches in here. You can coach your athletes all you want, but until they take what you told them and apply it to their game, they aren't going to do it. You know, I remember one year, my junior year, I tried to step out of a comfort zone. You know, this is as big as I ever got. I went out for basketball. Now, at home, I had no problem. I could hit three-pointers all day. But I got out there at practice, and the coach had me over on free throws, and I started hitting them like, his name... Shaq, thank you. I just saw him in a movie. I'm starting to hit him like Shaquille O'Neal. It's like, I can hit these at home in the barn. What is going on? And the coach came up. He said, Art, here, let me help you. He said, try this. Get my stance. I had the stance right. He said, 1, 2, follow through. I didn't miss another one that practice. Unfortunately, my grades took a major nosedive. Because I didn't like doing homework when I didn't have after-school activities. So I didn't play. Well, and besides that, the shoes were going to be over $100 in 1987. And I knew my parents weren't going to go for that. And we had to have those Nike Airs. And but what I learned was if I did it the way they told me, just like the drill instructor at boot camp, when I went running, what I called running across that wet log, I'm actually kind of walking sideways like this, and he says, no. I got to the end of it, he says, you come back. He said, and I said, run. Now, you need to understand, he was actually a first lieutenant. He was our OIC. He was about yay tall, no neck, shoulders like this. I later saw him with 2nd Recon Battalion. And the recon is the Special Forces of the Marine Corps. And he's my OIC in boot camp. And he said, I said, run. Aye, sir. And I took off running for all I was worth. It's pouring rain. Paris Island is already wet. So imagine all that on top of a wet telephone pole that is 5 feet above a pit of mud and water. And God only knows what else. Because you smell like you fell in the sewer. And I went running across it the way he told me to do it. And I had no problems. And from that day forward, I never sidestepped walking on a log. And I never fell off of them. But guys that were trying to sidestep them and walk wrong, they would fall. And just so you know, those poles are just set just far enough, you still hit your arms. And that hurts. But you see, I've learned so much by getting closer to God. God says, that's not the way I want you. Can't remember if I actually got to it last week or not, but God uses the things that we are. He uses natural abilities. He uses your personality. God does not want us a bunch of robots. Let's just get that through our heads right now. God does not want you to be a mini-me. He wants you to be you. He created you especially. He took the time, as he told, I believe it was Jeremiah, he said, I knew you in the womb. He knew what characteristics Jeremiah would take off. He knew Jeremiah would have a sensitive heart. He knew all about David. He knew David's heart would be turned towards him. And he also knew that David would love the women. But he knew that in the end, David was faithful. God knows you. God knows everything in your heart. He knows your personality. He knows your scars. He knows your battles. He knows the ones you're fighting right now. He knows the ones of you that are sitting here right now that you just want to run because I'm hitting so close to home. And I'm not preaching at any one person. He knows. And he wants you to know he's there. He's not going to run off and leave you. Some of you may be dealing with abandonment. Well, every time I got close to somebody and started trusting, they ran off. That's why you need to quit looking to people. She does not fulfill me. God fulfills me. And I do not fulfill her. Because I know how many times I failed her. And if it were not for God, I promise you, we probably would not be here today. And knowing that, many of you would not be serving the Lord today. And as I was sitting around looking, some of you wouldn't be married to your current spouse because you met here. See, so what I'm telling you is if God can take a screwed up boy that I was, and I'm a partially screwed up man, I'm not going to sit here and say I have arrived. I'm just going to tell you, I'm probably going to be sliding in myself. All right, God, I made it. And boy, was it a journey. Every day you get up should be a day that God is doing something. It seems new to us, doesn't it? You know, and I guess that's what bothers me about our society today. That's last year's model. That's last year. You know, I remember when I got my first smartphone. Woo, boy, I was so tickled with my little droid. Droid. I was like, man, I was amazed. I've got a computer. And I'm sitting in a tree stand. No, I didn't take any then. But you know, when I bought the phone, it was outdated. I just got it. It's already outdated because somebody created something new. And I praise God for great technology that keeps moving forward. Why do I have to have the latest, greatest cell phone? I'm not calling anybody in Europe. And my phone can do that. You just have to pay the international fees, which I'm not. Why do I have to have the latest, greatest hunting stuff? My goodness, the Indians were shooting with a bow and arrow and they sat out there half naked. But man, you guys that hunt, you know what I'm talking about. Next year, there will be a whole line, new and improved. We've got bows now that are claiming 300 feet per second. Granted, they cost you $1,200. But yet the bow that I've got that cost me $100 shoots just as well. And is only a little slower. We've got the greatest scent on planet Earth proven that deer can't smell you. What, did you talk to a deer? The deer told you he can't smell you? You see what I'm saying? We keep coming up with something trying to always improve. My clothes are outdated already. But I don't care. I'll tell you that right now. I'm just as happy in the same old Levi's and Wranglers that I had when I was a kid. Well, I take it back, except the green ones. I had two pair of green jeans, two pair of brown corduroys. And nothing like... There are some things I'm glad went away. But you see, that is how we get so wrapped up. Oh no, you can't wear that. You can't do that. That was last year. Oh, in the church, oh no, we got to change everything in the church today. If you aren't doing pageants, bless God, you aren't holy. You aren't ushering in the Spirit of the living God. Why did Jesus say then when two or three of us were gathered, He was there with us? Not with the pageant, not with the banners. And listen, if that's what they want to do, that's great. I got hit with one of them banners one time because they don't pay attention to what they're doing. And it hurt. That man didn't know how close he came to me grabbing that banner and jerking it down because it was like about 15-foot tail. And he's swinging around like that. Anybody know what a whip does when you do that with it? It was the side of my neck he got. Man, I was in the middle of that church service. The devil and the spirit had a race. And Satan went full throttle. But see, I don't care about that. God is not moved by theatrics. Because here's what I got to tell you something, folks. The whole word hypocrite describes an actor. That is what the word meant. An actor. I don't want you to be actors. Listen, I praise God, man. We got electric guitar, man. When Jesse hit that on Take It All, I was like, woohoo! You know, I get the buzz off of the electric guitar. It's like, oh yeah. I love a good electric guitar. I'm learning to appreciate some soft piano music too. Violins. But you really want to get to my heart? It's usually screaming. And I realize that's not all of you. So that's why we don't bang our heads every Sunday. Have a mosh pit up front. And you know what's so sad today is churches are divided because people won't build onto their house. Say, you know what? Worship is worship. I want the old rugged cross. But I want Him to take it all. So we can't get along, so let's have two different services. That's a division. And you know, I'm looking around here, and I'm going to tell you, we've got quite a few people missing today, and most of you here are regulars. You're going to force me to move that wall so that we can finish filling the seats up. That's what you're going to do. But we will not go to two services. You're one body. If we got to stand, bless God, we will stand. Oh, but I don't want to stand. Well, then you can sit on that hard plastic chair for an hour. I don't care. Sometimes I find it's easier to stand. I think last week it got so warm in here, I had three or four guys standing back here because I could see that even standing, eyelids were starting to slam. I understand. Preacher's a little long-winded. He's learning to shut his mouth. But if I can get through anything through to you, it's that God wants to continue the work He started. I don't care where you're at. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, He started a work. Oh, but Pastor, it's been so long since I felt anything. Go back to where you were when you last felt Him and start again. If you're building a house, if you're working on building onto your house and you stop, 5 years later you decide to go back on it, where are you going to start at? Where you left off. You don't put the roof on before the foundation's done. There's a process to everything. And the unfortunate thing is today we've taken fast food mentality and shoved it into our preaching in our churches. And we expect people that, okay, well, we're going to lay hands on you. Suddenly your world's going to change. That has never been the case for me. I'll tell you right now, that's why I will pray for you. I will lay hands on you. And I believe if that's what you need, God will tell me that's what you need. And I do it. I don't always offer prayer up here for healing, but people come through like, Pastor, will you pray for me? Yeah, I'll pray for you right here. You stand still long enough, I'll pray for you. I don't have to be up here. That's still church. We're still in church. And by the way, I can pray for you outside in the parking lot. It's just a lot colder. But if we do not allow people to grow where they're at and continue step by step, patience is our number one virtue. And you know, and I even read where the Apostle Paul said, I shouldn't have to be re-preaching this to you. Well, you know what? I've come to realize that sometimes I do have to re-preach. Because you know what? I'm far from being a baby. Okay? I passed those days up years and years and years ago. But I still like a good glass of milk. Especially with chocolate in it. I love chocolate milk. Or a big glass of cold milk when you've had some all this awesome sweets that I ain't been able to sleep until 3 a.m. I still need milk. We still need the very basics. And that's a part of us growing. I still need calcium in my body. My body requires it. I've seen people who cut out milk. I'll just tell you, my father's one. You can ask my wife. Doesn't drink milk. He even brags about he doesn't drink water. My father and I were the exact same height. I graduated high school. My dad is now this tall. And that's no joke. He cut milk nearly completely out of his diet, and his bones are shrinking. I'm realizing, you know what? I was short enough. I remember the day I got as tall as my grandma, and Barbie's taller than my grandma was. I was like, woohoo, I can see grandma eye to eye. Granted, grandma's only about yay tall. But we got to have that simple stuff. The simple proteins. But you know what? We're more worried about putting all the complex stuff in our bodies. Oh, I got to have this. You know what? Instead of taking all the dietary supplements and stuff, how about we just actually eat the good stuff? You need a little fiber? Eat a little salad. It's not going to kill you. But I can't promise what they put in Metamucil. And I don't see any of my bodybuilders here today. But all you bodybuilders are going out buying all this protein by the 5-gallon buckets. Eat a steak. Eat a piece of chicken. Eat a spoonful of peanut butter. I know what's in that stuff. That's protein. I love that commercial. The guy goes up and he's drinking all this green. Some of you may have seen he's got all this green drinks and stuff. And he said, why do you drink it? It's got protein. And he hands him this little snack pack. He said, it's got just as much protein as that nasty thing you're drinking. But no, we don't. And I'm going to tell you, the church is the same exact way. We want to go to a service and be suddenly delivered of everything. And if it didn't happen, it's God's fault. No. Any of you have ever tried to give up tobacco, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Don't have to go too far down that road, do I? That craving, you have to work on. God, we can pray for you on Sunday, but bless God, it's going to be a toe-to-toe fight every day. And I'm going to tell you right now, just because you took a couple puffs during the week, don't get down on yourself. The self-condemnation is 10 times worse. But you can grow. You can change. And it is by God. It's by revelation of Him. I heard a preacher one time say this, and I just sat there in amazement. I was like, that is the truth. Christians would rather go stand it for hours in a prayer line to be laid hands on for issues that can be dealt with by changing their diet, maybe exercising a little bit, cutting something out. I got a case of pop for Christmas. When that case is done, I ain't touching pop for a while. I feel awful. That's the problem. But you see what I'm saying? Here's the stupid part of it. Instead of going to make myself a pot of tea that I really like, I drink and go grab the Coke. Because it's ready. It's instant. I didn't have to do anything but open the fridge, reach in and get it, and pop it. Instant gratification instead of, you know what? I look back on the year and I don't want to hurt people anymore. I look back on the year, I don't want to lie to people anymore. God changed me. I want to be with the people of God. It takes a commitment on our behalf. And don't make it a resolution because you will break it. Because I need you to understand the word resolute means it doesn't move. It's solid. Resolutions, it's kind of like those diets where you cut everything out through the week and then you can do what you want on a weekend. That's bad news. Bad news. Stable diet is good. You want to cut out, particularly me, sugar. I know as soon as I start really hacking away at the sugar, things are going to feel a lot better. But if you start slowly weaning those things out of your life, it's just like I tell a person who's smoking cigarettes, unless God delivers you right then and there, don't go cold turkey. You will kill people within 4 days. Or want to kill people within 4 days. Wean yourself. And if you mess up, God, I know, I'm trying. I'm working on this. Don't stop. Get back up. I don't care what it is. You're trying to cut out lying. I'll tell you one thing that'll help stop you from lying, going back to the person you lied to and repent. I bet you won't lie to them anymore. Don't ask God to start something new when you haven't finished the building you're on now. I'm notorious about starting new projects. You can ask my wife. She's like, I can do this to the back of the barn. I can do this in the barn. We can do that. I said, we got this huge barn and there's no loft in it. It is one huge mow, the floor all the way up 35 feet. And I'm like, that's wasted space. I need mows. I need floors. And I'm figuring out how to construct all this. And she's like, you are not starting another project until you get my bathroom finished. Well, I'm almost done with the laundry room. That's a good step. But you see, we've got to finish the projects we're on. Here's what we do when we get people saved. Now, I'm going to try to wrap up here. We try, when we get somebody saved, we come in, we say, all right, you got to cut all this stuff out. You got to cut cussing out. We got one person, I know, they're relatively new to the Lord. And periodically, they just let one fly out and they don't realize it. I ain't judging you. Why judge you? There's no point in it. Because I probably use words that you think are cuss words. But because somebody religious 15 years ago or 50 years ago said that's a cuss word, you do know as soon as you cross the Ohio River, things change. I mean, I remember going down to church down there and pastor used the word. I was like, oh my gosh, he's a sinner. Things are different. Are they going to hell? No. I remember growing up, we weren't allowed to use certain words because they sounded bad. I'm like, that's a bad thing. Passing gas. It's a bad thing. the word should fit it. It's not a fluffy. My mom tried that. Oh, that's such a nasty word. Call it a fluffy. Mom, it's green. It's hanging in here. It's not a fluffy. But in her mind, it was vulgar. So we didn't say it. And to this day, I won't use the word in front of her unless it just slips out. And then there's other words that are in your Bible.
Bless God, that's a bad word.
Well, you tell Isaiah. He's the one that used it. So why would I get all over that person? There were people, I know you're struggling with things. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know what it is, but God has a way of making me invisible when I'm out and about. I had one person sit here, right, bold-faced lie to my face. I don't go to McDonald's. I haven't been there in years. You know where I saw him Monday morning? In the drive-thru line. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I'm like, I thought you didn't go to McDonald's. I don't care if you go to McDonald's, but you're the one who's struggling with weight and diabetic issues. And you want me to pray that God will heal you of those issues. I think if we actually work on this part here, you might find how much nicer your life is. But there's no point in judging you or condemning you in it, because that's what the word condemn means, to chain you to that thing. I don't want that person to be changed. I don't want you to be chained to whatever it is you're trying to break free from. And I've had a lot of people come to me in private and say, Pastor, I'm struggling with this. And I said, you know what? I feel you. I'll pray for you. You pray for me. And I'm going to tell you right now, man, I know there are people who walked out of here and judged me. Because see, what happens is they go out and they start running their soup cooler. And the message comes right back real quick. I had one person come in here, and I know they heard me. Because I've told you, I dealt with lust. That's what porn is. And I'm not the only one sitting in here today. Because I'll tell you right now, just like a drug addict identifies another drug addict real quick, so can us. But I'm going to tell you right now, God is the only way to overcome this stuff. But this person went out, started telling other pastors around that I was controlled by a spirit of lust. Okay, so I've told the entire congregation for 15 years. I ain't going to hide that. Because here's what the problem is. If we hide what we were struggling with, you think you're dirty. One sin is no worse than any other. So get off your high and mighty horse there, liar. I don't lie. Well, let's see the receipt for that tax deduction you claimed last year. Oh, you didn't actually make that. That's a lie. But hey. But you see, that's one thing I started learning to walk in was, I can't judge you. Because I was real good at judging people. Real good. I liked it. You know what I'm saying? We all like it a little bit. I can't believe that person. Man, look at that. They got a chain going from their nose to their ear to their nipple to... Hey! I don't like pain, but who am I to judge them? Who says it's right or wrong? Oh, but they got a lot of black on. Man, I look good in black. I liked wearing my motorcycle leathers until they got a little tight. But there's not one of us that can judge another because we're all still building a building. That's why Jesus said, no man starts a foundation and starts it on sand. You got to start this foundation on God. and build on the solid rock, not on broken messages. Do you understand that's what sand is? Sand is broke. The word is the rock. It's what we stand on. Jesus is the word. We stand on that. Because I used to make lots of sand. Tons of sand. I worked at a gravel quarry. And we'd take big rocks. And we'd send them through a crusher. And it would break them up. And then we'd make a lot of little rocks. And we made thousands of tons of sand. And all it was a broken piece of the solid rock. Sand is extremely heavy and shifty. You cannot build upon it. You can't really do anything with sand except mix it with something to make it hard again. It's got its purposes in construction, but one of them is not to build upon it. So why are we trying to take broken messages of the Word of God? And put them into people's lives. And say, here's how you overcome. They overcame by the word of their testimony. Do you know how you testify? Listen, I was going to say that God just brought it into play. So, one of my firm beliefs is I don't want to preach about something I've never been in or been through. I prefer not to be faced with things. But I've, in the last 15 years, been faced with a lot of garbage. And I'm going to tell you right now, I can preach about those things. That's why I share with you my struggles. I don't say, oh, you know, here, have pity on Pat, or, oh, he's thinking about getting naked. No, get over yourself. You're not that hot. There's so much going on that people forget we're all human. And preachers stand up in pulpits and they preach. I'm going to tell you right now, I can point out several. They stood in their pulpits and they pointed their self-righteous fingers down at the congregation and said, you're going to hell. You're going to hell. You're going to hell. They fell to the very thing they were preaching against that day. They fell to the very same sin. Why? They got self-righteous. You know, Jesus, the Bible says Jesus was a high priest who went through everything we could ever go through. And yet he did not sin. He had to be tempted. Do you understand? He had to be tempted. Stealing a car is not a temptation for me. But there might be somebody in here who it could be a temptation. And the reason it would be a temptation is maybe you need a car to get to work. I don't know. I do know this. That if we find ourselves judging other people, Jesus said, the way you've judged, you will be judged. Do you understand what that actually means? Now, you're going to get to heaven and God's going to say, here's how they judge you. He's going to say, I'm putting you in that position. Right now, we're going to see how you handle it. And I'm going to open up everything that is inside of you that you've been hiding so that you are tempted. I think so many preachers, after they've been restored, they fail to see the best part of what came out of that. God's mercy. I want the body to straighten up and act like the body of Christ. But I know we're imperfect. We are not wearing a white gown and all that ourselves. It's white because of the blood of Christ. And that alone. There ain't no amount of work you're going to be able to do to be that righteous. If it were not for His blood, it's a null and void point. But if you will take this year to let God finish the works He's started in your life and you have pulled away from, it bothers me when I see people push in so close and they are God's moving. You see the power of God on them. You see the anointing. And they just start, oh, you know what? The devil, I'm going to tell you right now, if he can't make you bad, he will make you busy. And he brings everything in from the sides and says, you got to do all this too. And God is what gets cut out every time. Every time. I've not just seen it in the 15 years I've pastored. I've seen it in all the years I've been in church. And that was from the time I was 8. Where did they go? Well, they got busy. Some of them don't serve the Lord anymore. Because they stopped the progress. It's not that we got to have the next best thing or the newest house or this or that. Man, I love old houses for starters. You aren't going to find more solid houses. Something made out of hardwood. We built out of pine today. Oh, that's a good quality house there. Yeah, mine's made out of oak. What's yours made out of? They build ships out of mine, and cannonballs couldn't puncture them. And you need to take the time and let God build that the rest of your house. But you've got to stay on it. And I'm the person cracking the whip. Saying, don't back off. Just like my lovely wife, you need to get out there and do something. I don't want to. You need to get out there and do something. And it was my initial push, and I'm glad I did it. But I got to keep getting out there and doing something, a little bit at a time. Somebody asked me, when is this going to be this project finished? I said, probably 2 years. No. Yeah. And I'm not doing a full remodel. It will take at least 2 years. Because when I do finish that, there's other projects that have to get started. There's other things that need to happen. There's walls that have to be torn down. See, you're not complete when you think, well, we got that addition done. All right, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. I'm going to go to church and everything's going to be happy. You're going to get to church and I'm going to preach a message that's going to nail your next project. It's the way God is. I can't help it. I don't know how many times I've stood back here and people said, you read my mail today. God talked to you, didn't he? Not in particular about you, because I've actually got up here, and there have been people God told me to preach a message about. Here's the sad part. They stay home that day. I was like, are you kidding me? They needed that word. God told me to preach that word. But when I got done preaching it, usually 3 to 4 people come back and say, man, you read my mail. Yeah. It's okay. The reason I usually preach on something is because God usually dealt with me. And I'm here to tell you, he's not going to leave you. Get your foundation right, then you can build those walls. Put in the windows, put in the doors, insulation, the electric. See, that's a hilarious part. If you've never been around construction, you have no idea what it takes to build a house. I shudder at anybody's house that was built inside of 6 months. And there are houses that are built inside of a month. Just watch all these reality TV shows. I'd really like to go back and see how many of them are still standing. You don't build on concrete 3 days after you poured it. They don't give the concrete time to cure, the foundation time to cure. They just, boom, 3 days later, we got a full house. We're going, man, this is how much we appreciate what you've done for our country. You know, you're disabled now. Your legs were blown off in a war. You know, we're going to come, we're going to build this house for you. It's all handicap accessible. Tore down your old shack, and we're going to build this big thing, which, by the way, you get to pick up the mortgage for. And we're going to do it inside of a week. Do you know it takes 3 days to finish drywall? Not hang it. Finish it. Yeah, it depends on who you are. It might take. But you see what I'm saying? That's the mentality the church is in. Listen, I don't want you. I want you to build a house that's going to be around for a while. I'm not interested in building something that is built in a factory. And then when the winds blow, your walls start moving. I lay there and I hear the wind blow, and I'm like, yeah, thank you, Jesus. The walls ain't going nowhere. The trees outside creak, and I look up and I said, thank you, Jesus. Those trees aren't coming down. Because I love them. All right, let's stand. I know I didn't read you a lot of scripture today, and I know the one scripture I talked about, I kind of used to point out how we get a little superficial in the body of Christ, but doggone it, like I said, I want you to be around for a while. There's nothing that bothers me more than to see people get saved, get on fire, and they get rolling for a little bit, and then, boom, they get hit. Take the time to build the foundation. Sometimes you, when you're digging the foundation, by the way, you find treasures. Just so you know. Not everything inside you is evil. As a matter of fact, on the contrary, everything that is inside of you that is evil, there is something inside of you that is the exact opposite. Every person that lies, they want to tell the truth. But they've been told that the lie might work better. There is the exact opposite in you. So don't be going around beating yourself up. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Oh, our Heavenly Father, we are truly grateful, Lord, for your unending wisdom, Lord. Father, that you will take this shell and you will build upon it. Lord, I pray now that you help each and every one of us cleanse the foundations. Keep the word pure. Keep our love for you pure as you build upon this and build the house that we reside in. Father, where there was no integrity, I call forth integrity. Where there was nothing but lies, I call forth the truth. Where there was cheating, I call forth faithfulness. Lord God, we should not be bound by our past. Where there's unforgiveness, I call forth the forgiveness and repentance. Lord, I thank you that you move through each and every one of us. You work with us. You speak to us. Lord, help us all to hear your voice and not to be distracted by the things to the left or to the right, but that we will stay on the path that you have ordered us. Because, Father, your word says, the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. And we thank you for that, Father. We walk knowing that you will not leave us or forsake us, and you will not lead us through places without being there with us. Just as David said in the 23rd Psalm, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear nothing, for you are with me. Lord, I thank you and I praise you for your unending love. And now, Father, I bless these people. Father, I thank you for them. Lord, and as they go, as many of them begin a new work week, Lord, I bless them as they go forth in that. Father, may they go rested and raring to go to do their work. Father, and I thank you, Father, that you're opening doors of opportunity for those who are seeking better employment. And I thank you, Lord, that you will not fail them in that. In Jesus' name, amen.